Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up,
get up with,
ladies and gentlemen,
Josiah and Ellie.
It goes like this.
Hello, podcasters, catch-uppers. Nice to have you with us. Thanks for downloading.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Oh, God, you sound invested. No, can you put your phone away when we're talking to the people?
No, do you know why? What I am doing?
What?
Messaging my cousin who downloads this catch-up every day from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Fikria.
Yeah, what are you saying to them?
Happy birthday to her.
Oh, cute. Well, thanks
love
for downloading.
Happy 30th, happy 33rd birthday. Yeah, good pronunciation.
Thank you. I'm pretty good at pronouncing things, except
happy
for the word pronouncing.
She's our
apparently.
Number one fan. So there you go.
Number one fan. That's a big call. Now. She's going to have to battle my mum. Like, I'm expecting mud wrestling, fisticuffs. Let's
no,
do it.
No, Raylene is my number one fan, whereas Fikria is a show's number one fan.
Has mum added you on Facebook yet? She said she was going to.
Well, she popped up. I added your sister, though.
No, you're not allowed. You promised me you wouldn't add my sister.
Well, no, I promised you I wouldn't, but I did. Liv Cheney.
Have you spoken yet on Messenger?
No, I haven't. I've been nice. I've thought about it, though. She tagged a couple of guys in a post the other day, something to do with doing shots, and it came up in my feed.
Oh, God.
I was going to comment on it and get involved, saying, you're so much like your sister, but I thought I'd just leave that one alone.
Isn't it a reflection on you that you say, I was nice in that I haven't contacted her yet? Because you know that if you did contact her, you'd be a creep.
What's your mum's last
no,
name
it doesn't
again?
Matter. We're
Raylene.
Moving on.
Oh, here it is.
Shout out to mum if you're listening now. You will be. She downloads it every day.
Oh, beautiful. That is, wow. That is where you get your looks
stop
from.
Stop it!
Raylene is stunning.
Stop it. Oh, cute. That's a photo of me and her at my graduation.
Look at you. You're so young and innocent.
Yeah, that was my fat year.
Your mum, oh, she's very political.
Is she?
Hashtag kids off Nauru.
Yeah, she loves refugees. Good. She works for the Red Cross.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
You can't, your mum.
Yeah, she's cute. Anyway.
Oh, there's the ultimate photo. Look at this
stop
one.
Stop it. This is not good.
It's your mum and your sister
oh
in one
God.
Photo.
All right, moving along.
You have a really nice family.
You don't want to hear about these poor podcasters. You've downloaded this for a reason, and that reason should be today because we speak to Dermot Brereton, and he is a bit of fun, that guy.
Great
I like him
chat.
A lot.
Really good chat.
Stage 5 clingers. I tell a hectic story about how I had one once that would not give up.
Great story.
Thanks for your endorsement.
Ellie basically could have died. And also, one of the craziest stories about when you've crossed paths with someone, a story out of Taiwan, which will blow your mind.
All right, enjoy. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. It is heating up. We are loving it. And unfortunately, I've had to say goodbye to, I'm not going to lie, one of my faves, Dermot Brereton. And he joins us now live from South Africa. Morning, Derm.
G'day, Ellie. How are you? Hi, Josiah.
Morning, Dermot. What hurts more, losing a premiership or getting kicked out of the jungle?
Oh, let's be honest. There's no real contest to that question. Getting kicked out was very painful.
Not quite where I expected you to go. Did you think that you were going to get kicked out this early on in the piece, or did you think, because I'm not going to lie, I thought that you were going to take out the whole thing.
Well, I thought I might have lasted a couple of extra days. I thought all up there's been 14 people in there. And I'm fifth to go, so there's 9 remaining. I thought I would go out truly midstream, mm-hmm. 8, 7, maybe even 6. But I always knew that that stupid boy Shane Crawford and I, the people who vote for either of us,
yeah,
are the one and the same type of voters. They're AFL followers, so and they tend to be loyal to the code and maybe even Hawthorn supporters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we probably split those people down the middle. So we probably cannibalized each other's votes. So now that I'm gone, the night before I went last night, so 2 nights ago, Shane was in the bottom 3, mm-hmm. which was a surprise. So that would be my vote is taking votes off him. So now I expect them to all jump on Shane's back and have them carry him across the line.
I think there's a reason why Shane Crawford got all the votes, especially from the Goulburn Valley anyway, and that was he came and visited myself and Ellie in the studio not too long ago. So maybe you're due for a trip to Shep.
Yeah, we gave him the strength he needed to get through.
That cheating little nasty portly midget, I'll get into him when he gets out about there. That's just not cricket.
You're right. It's surviving in the jungle. Completely different sport.
So, I have been to Shep before. Yeah, lovely town.
Oh, good to hear. All right. Well, we're looking forward to you coming up soon. I mean, I know you haven't said explicitly that you're coming, but we're just holding you to it.
He doesn't have to now because he's already kicked out.
Yeah, exactly. So what was the hardest moment about being in the jungle, do you reckon?
The hardest moment, there's a combination. I do boredom fairly well. I can sit on my fat clacker and just do nothing, twiddle my thumbs most days until I go to work in the evening. So that, but the isolation in confined spaces is quite difficult. That and for 3.1 kilos when I went in. When I walked out at the end, I walked out and got weighed again. I was 88.9. Now, I haven't been 80 something. This is true. Since 1987-88. In fact, in 88, I know I was in my 90s. So since 1987 was the last time I was 80-something. So the food really knocked me around. And once you're eternally hungry, it affects your mood. And there was a couple of days there I was a bit down. But then they sent me on a thing called a celebrity chest. And we got to pinch a little bit of lunch on the way out of the back of the car. Then Shane and I got given two beers. I sculled his beer as well. He's only a little pink, so he doesn't need it. And then I pinched most of the food as well. And then we went back to the camp and we had to spin a yarn. And from that yarn, we got gin and tonics.
Oh,
I drank mine. Richard Reed couldn't drink his after a sip, so I drank his. And then I think it was Evie couldn't drink hers after a sip, so I drank hers. And that means I had five drinks in quick time. And unfortunately, it's been the bane of my life, or one of the banes of my life. I'm a terribly expensive drunk. It costs me a lot to get drunk. I wish I was a cheap shout, but I'm not. So I wish I had been able to get tipsy and lose myself there on that evening, but I wasn't able to, and so I felt cheated.
You sound the opposite to Ellie.
Yeah, I know. Give me one drink and I'm anyone.
Hey, Dermot, there's something you and I are very similar at, and you won Clio Bachelor of the Year in 1990. There's something I haven't actually revealed on this show before, and that is I didn't win, but I came fourth in 2013.
So, equal fourth with 50 other people.
I mean.
Because they don't tell you who comes fourth.
It still counts. How did that change your life?
How did that change my life? Well, Josiah, they say that you either win it, and if you were runner-up a few times, that either means you're not good-looking or you're gay. So which is it for you, mate?
Probably a bit of both, to be honest.
Thank you so much for bringing him back down to earth. He needs to hear this often, Dev.
Oh, we need a beer ASAP.
I've heard you're a charming young man.
Don't pump him up. You just brought him back down to where he needs to be.
That'll
don't
be on my tombstone. Josiah is a charming young man, Dermot.
Oh, I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. It does continue tonight at 7:30 on WIN. Dermot Brereton, thanks so much for joining us this morning, and go enjoy having multiple frothies now that you're free.
Thank you, Ellie. Thank you, Josiah. You two are bloody stars. Good on you.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Did you just speak to Dermot Brereton? And
what a legend.
You just dropped a little nugget of information in there that I really need to circle back to.
What, that I'm a big fan of I'm a Celebrity?
No.
A big fan of Dermot's career?
I don't think you said that once, actually. I think what you did say, though, is that you were once in the running for Clio's Bachelor of the Year.
2013, yeah.
And you dropped that little nugget. I don't know why I keep saying drop a nugget.
I need to drop a nugget.
You mentioned that you came fourth. And turns out they don't do fourth, Josiah. There's the top three. And so you're just assuming that you came fourth because there was no actual fourth named.
Well done, Ellie. It takes a smart person to figure that out. There was Clio Bachelor of the Top 50. I didn't make the top three. However, I did come fourth with 46 other guys. So you take out the other 46.
In your mum's eyes.
Fourth is all it took.
How do you get in the running for Clio? Is it
so you have to be nominated?
Nominate yourself?
No, I didn't nominate myself.
Well, I don't know. Who nominated you?
At a former workplace, my publicist nominated me. Got put forward and somehow made the top 50 eligible bachelors of the year in 2013. Don't go googling it either.
I'm going to go googling it. In fact, I'm launching a full scale investigation into this because this is not. I can't let a sleeping dog lie right now. Like this is. I need to jump on this.
Some things are meant to stay secret. Some things aren't meant to get out.
Why did you bring it up with Dermot Brereton?
Because a couple of legends. Because
Dermot used to be in Claire Bachelor of the Year, so did I. Oh, cool. Let's talk about it in the locker room. Hey, how many chicks were after you? Heaps.
It was like a Chinese fishing pond.
Oh.
I was swimming in this pond and they were just throwing their rods in. And I was like, which bachelor do you want? That's what it was like at the party. It was unbelievable.
I feel like I'm just not going to say anything. Just keep talking though. Keep telling me about it.
Don't Google Josiah Cleo Bachelor of the Year today. Whatever you do at work today, don't do it.
You know everyone's doing it right now. All right, GB, you haven't heard the end of this.
I came fourth. Leave me
alone. No, you didn't. You came dead last, if that's your theory. All right, we'll talk about that more as the days come, I'm sure. But coming up very soon, did you cross paths with your partner in the past? God, I'm lost for words with how excited I am at launching this Cleo investigation.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Got the most incredible story now, and it's out of Taiwan. Taiwanese. A Taiwanese woman was shocked to discover her boyfriend had donated blood that saved her life 11 years ago. This is an incredible story. Listen to this. Her name is Lin Xiaofan.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure that's how you pronounce it.
I'm pretty sure it's not, but hey, we'll move on.
Lin Xiaofan, she suffered serious injuries in 2008. She had a big car crash, which left her in a critical condition. Thank goodness she's okay. And doctors had to work really hard to save her life.
Mm.
Anyway, part of the emergency treatment, Lin Xiaofan was given about 5 liters of donated blood to keep her going, keep the ticker
Doesn't
ticking
sound
away.
Like that was a lot of fun.
No, it was a lot.
not so much fun.
It wasn't Lee Xiaofan at all. Fortunately, she survived.
Fortunately, Xiaofan.
she survived. We're talking about a girl out of car crash here, Eleanor.
Yeah, sorry.
So she survived, so we can make fun of her again. She recovered. And then 2 years later, she met her boyfriend. How good's this? Lian Ji Chang.
She's changing it up.
When she was, when Lee Xiaofan was hanging out with Lian Ji Chang, she shared her terrifying story with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow, what an incredible story. So glad to have you here.
This sounds like an episode of Married at First Sight.
It does a little bit, doesn't it? He said to her, it wasn't Lee Xiaofan. Anyway, he said to, then he comes back with this claim. He goes, do you think it could be my blood that you used as a joke that they pumped into the body? Because he was a regular blood donor. Get this. Lin Xiaofan reached out to medical authorities to find out where the blood that saved her life came from. This is incredible. She found out that the dude she's now with was on her list of donors. Incredible story. The new boyfriend that she met 2 years later happened to donate blood from years before that saved her life.
Taiwan's a big place. Like, I don't know. I don't want to call mayo in it, but I feel like I'm very skeptical with every story that you bring to the table.
There's no skeptic in this. This is fact. This was on the news.
Surely they don't know exactly whose blood goes in who.
Well, apparently they keep a list on a register in Taiwan. No. I don't know if they do that in Australia or not. They definitely do in Taiwan. Her new boyfriend was a blood donor. He kept her alive. 13, 12, 16. What I want to talk this morning, when have you crossed paths with your partner right now in the past?
Yeah, it kind of happened to me. My boyfriend Gav and I, turns out we went to the same Florence and the Machine concert.
Oh, come on, man. That's a stretch.
What? No, it's not.
So what?
He went on a date. I went on a date. It was years and years and years ago. Now we're together.
So you're both on separate dates at Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
Years go forward.
Yeah.
You're now together and you both happen to be at that concert. You know what?
We crossed paths. We could have been standing next to each other in the line for a Coke Zero.
You could have.
You know?
You know what? Your story could be as small as Ellie's. It could be as huge as Lee Xiaofan's. 13, 12, 16, we're talking this morning. When have you crossed paths with your partner in the past? Aweeds, I think that's your name on Instagram, has hit us up saying, my partner and I did the same dead ball almost 7 years ago, even though we went to different schools, stood next to each other in a photo as well. They didn't realize until they started dating and looked back at their photos and saw they were standing next to each
other. I love that
7 years ago. How good is that?
Gives me tingles down my spine. All right, let's go to Lucy from Strathmerton. Lucy, did you cross paths with your partner in the past?
Well, guys, actually, we didn't even realize until recently, but we were on opposing debating teams in high school, my partner and I.
That is quite cute. And then how long later did you guys end up meeting?
It was actually about 7 years, so it's been ages, and that's why we didn't realise until recently, because we were just sort of chatting about it. Actually, we were chatting about wind farms, and I was like, oh, I used to do debating, and I was arguing that wind farms are bad for the environment. And he's like, I did that too. And it was just like, oh, my God, mind blown.
Do you know what would have been amazing, though, is if you both grew up to become lawyers and you both met in court?
And had the wind farm debate at a professional level.
Yeah. Oh, no, now we just like debate and fight at home. So
Luce, that is incredible. That restores my faith in humanity. I love it. Thanks so much for your call.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's go to Andrew from Nathalia. Hey, Andrew, have you crossed paths with someone in the past?
My current girlfriend. Oh, sorry, fiance.
Really?
Oh, here we go.
All right, tell us the story.
Well, I was out shopping with my sister at Woolworths at Kyabram, and I seen this person walking around in a brown and white onesie, big claw, green claw slippers, and I turned to my sister, I'm like, what an idiot. Why would you go out in public like that? I moved into the caravan park because it was closer to work, and we kind of hit it off, and next minute she comes out of the bedroom one night in her onesie.
You're kidding me.
And I'd already seen the claw slippers in the cupboard, and I'm like, you're kidding. It was you.
Wow.
So did from that moment on, were you like, because you'd already prejudged her, were you like, nah, this isn't going to work anymore? Or obviously not if you're now fiancés.
No. We're getting married on the 31st of August this year.
Oh, well,
congratulations.
Done. So the onesie wasn't a deal breaker?
No.
There you go.
I can't really say anything. When I was about 13, I went shopping in boxer shorts. So.
Do you know what? Josiah still does that to this day.
You know, I'm in boxer shorts right now as we speak. What an incredible story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
No worries.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Hey, you hear about the term stage 5 clinger a lot.
So that's someone who's basically won't let go of that person.
Yeah, just like one person's made it super keen that they're not interested, super obvious that they're not keen, and yet the other person just keeps chipping away, trying to
read the play, guys.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. 13, 12, 16. Are you a stage 5 clinger or have you been involved with a stage 5 clinger? Now, this comes after a story that's broken in the last 24 hours about a doctor in Sydney. She has been taken to court by this dude because they went on one Tinder date back in 2015. And since then, she sent him 9,000 texts.
Whoa.
And 100 emails. Now, they went on one date. He then went home. I think he's from Melbourne, I believe. So he went home to Melbourne and got a new girlfriend pretty quickly. And she was not happy about this.
So it was one date.
That's one date.
He didn't lead her on after that. Whatever happened on the date happened on the date. That was it.
Yep.
Sign, sealed, delivered.
Yep.
Move on.
Yep. But she did not move on. So she kept texting him. And then she started texting his new girlfriend.
Whoa.
His sisters, her parents, and basically targeting them and being vicious towards them. And she even contacted her employer, the new girlfriend's employer, to try and, you know, ruin her integrity and reputation.
What has this guy done to this girl? Did he cast a spell on her or something? How did he get that obsessed with someone after one date?
I don't know. And this woman seems like a pretty normal person, you know? Like, she's a radiologist. She seems like she's got it all together.
She could be on a good wicket. She's a doctor, radiologist.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing well for herself.
Exactly. And next minute, she's been charged with 6 counts of using a carriage service to menace/harass.
She can stalk me.
Yeah, and 2 counts of stalking.
Triple what I'm on. She can stalk me any day.
And she don't say that because next minute you're going to get 9,000 messages in your inbox. But it reminded me of a time that I had a bit of a stage 5 clinger who was a bit keen on me.
Here we go. How did you, let's paint the scene here. Where did you meet him?
Okay, so started chatting to him on Tinder and he...
Didn't you meet your boyfriend on Tinder?
Yeah.
Was it him?
No, I wish.
He's like the longest stage 5 clinger there ever is. Get him away.
No, this dude I started talking to and very early on in the piece realised, as in like the first night, we was talking to each other for a night, maybe... I'm going to say 5 messages back and forth, just like, you know, hey, how are you? What are you up to this weekend?
It's really intense.
And that was it. And then he just kept messaging me. Like, I think I'd said, oh, I've got a hens on the weekend or something. And he would send me a message being like, hey, Ellie, how was the hens? And then I wouldn't reply. Hey, Ellie, what did you do after the hens? Hey, Ellie, what else did you do on the weekend?
Hey, Ellie,
what are you up to this week? And there was like 10 messages in a row that I hadn't responded to because I'd figured out, I was like, I'm not interested in this guy. Anyway, so I didn't respond, and then he just started sending me question marks.
Oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
And then he got a bit more aggressive and was like, why have you stopped replying? Da, 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 da. And I ended up being like, okay, here we go. I said, hi, like, it's been really nice chatting to you. I think I said I actually have met someone now. So, you know, I don't think we should talk anymore, but, you know, enjoy, have a good life, effectively.
Single guys and girls around the Goulburn Valley, listen to Uncle Josiah right now.
Oh, God, here we go. Yeah.
Do not double message.
No.
Full stop.
Let alone 10 in a row.
Read the play. The person's either too busy to reply, they'll get back to you later.
Yeah.
Or they're not interested. Don't double text, move on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this guy did not take that message on hand, Josiah. He kept messaging me. So he said, okay, well, how about if you... if you take my number and I'll take yours, and then if you become single again, we can go out sometime.
Oh.
I've actually said this, and I'm like, and he's actually said this, and I've said, I don't actually like to give out my personal information to people I don't know, and I don't really know you. You know, our paths might cross in the future, but for now, goodbye and good luck. I'm showing you the messages
right
now.
What are you right back?
And he's like, I don't talk to any nice girls like you. It's been really fun. Literally, this is based on 5 messages.
How does he know if you're
Tinder.
Nice?
I don't know. I do not know. Anyway, so you think that's it. I've shut him down multiple times. Nuh-uh. A month later, hey, Ellie, how's it going?
Oh.
Another month goes by. Inboxes me on Facebook. Hey, Ellie, how you going?
You called the police
Keeps
on that
going.
Guy.
Instagram, starts DMing me on Instagram, replying to my stories. I ended up blocking him on Insta because I was like a bit scared of him.
Do you have his number?
Yeah, I do. No,
oh,
we're not calling him.
We have to call the guy.
Then it gets worse. I know the story's going on for a while.
Can I call him?
Okay, go for it. Tell me the cops and you're a stalker. I see him out one night, and I caught his eye across the room because I realized he'd been staring at me. Like, you know how you just feel when someone's staring at you? And he was at this bar that I was at, and I said to my friends, I was like, that's the stalker guy. Anyway, he didn't approach me at the bar. In real life, he had a chance to come up and say something. Didn't say it. Next morning, sends me a message. Hey, how was the bar last night?
Oh,
named
what
the bar
a
that
creep.
I was at. I was like, this is not okay.
I think I've listened to some murder podcasts very similar to that.
Right. It was kind of scary. I mean, he's now since he's unfollowed me finally after 2 years of sending me these messages that I was not responding to.
Full points for trying, though.
Yeah,
I'll give that to him.
Look, I mean, I know.
There's a gold medal in trying.
Yeah.
He wins that.
But he's a creep. Oh, one
Another
more
one.
Thing. When I moved over here, because this guy's in Perth, when I moved over here, he said, oh, congratulations on the new gig. Maybe I can come visit you sometime.
How about no?
What do you mean? No, you can't.
No more creeps in the Goulburn Valley,
yes.
Buddy. What's
Such
his name?
None.
Name of shame.
No, I'm scared of him.
So
anyway,
I'm going to give him a call after the show anyway. I'm going to tell him your address.
This is what we want to talk about this morning. 13, 12, 16, stage 5 clingers. Have you had one in your life? Have you been one? No embarrassment, no shame if you have. We just want to hear your story. We've got a Katie from Shep. Katie, were you the stage 5 clinger or did you have one in your life?
I am the stage 5 clinger,
oh, no.
Well, you've taken
no
the first
shame,
step.
No shame, though, because
she
was hot.
No shame at all. I was hoping we'd get one of these.
You've taken the first step in the right direction by admitting that you are guilty. Who was the guy? Why did you do it?
All right. So he was a doctor, right? Mm. And my housemate went and saw this doctor, and he came home and he's like, dude, this doctor is so hot. You go look at him on Instagram. So we looked at him on Instagram, and I started following him, okay? And then... I was like, oh my God, how am I going to make a move on him? So I just started going to the doctor, like a lot of just like real unnecessary things. I'm like, I've got a cough, but not things that were like awkward to go to a doctor for because I wanted to still like impress him, you know?
Yeah, you didn't want to rock up and be like, hey doc, I've got this rash. What is it?
Pretty much. So between me and my housemate, we were going to see this doctor like weekly. My housemate would also go because then he'd like talk about me to the doctor, and then we used to slide into his DMs like all the time. Well, by we I mean me, and I used to like all of his photos, but it totally paid off. In the end, he asked me on a date.
Oh, what? Wow,
it worked.
Yeah.
Because you can only go to the doctor with gastro for so many times a year, can't you?
Not gastro. Gastro is not a sexy disease.
Oh,
I agree with Katie. You've
got to
have something
that.
Sexier, you know, like a little chest pain or something.
Oh,
so
wow.
How many dates did you go on?
I didn't actually go on the date because I was really intimidated because he was a doctor and he was really hot. So I was like, oh my God, no, I can't do it.
Oh, but, that's really sad.
Oh God, from the clinger to the opposite of the clinger, the alfoil. I don't know.
No.
The glad wrap.
I feel like stalked him on Instagram all the time, and like we still like did that. But I was just, oh my God, I was like so like shy. Because
do you know
so
what, Katie? You can do it. What? I'm putting faith on you. Yeah. Go out with the doctor. He obviously likes you. He's keen.
Message
he's
him today and tee up a date this weekend.
And then let us know how it goes.
Okay.
You can do it, sister. Have a bit of faith.
Okay, I'll try.
Great. Thank you so much for getting in touch this morning.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
Been talking about this all morning. I find this one of the most scary stories you'll hear all week.
Hit me. I don't scare easily, bro.
For the year, I'm going to say.
Oh, God. All right, do you want me to like, spook it up
Give
for
us
you
some
a
scary music.
Oh, God.
This girl went to, she was a college student in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about her as if she's in the past. This just happened this week.
Yep.
In her dorm or bedroom or little bedroom, whatever you like to call it, that they have at universities.
Yeah, dorm. Come back to my dorm.
Never went to university, so I wouldn't know. There was a lot of noises happening from the cupboard, and this wasn't just happening over one day. This was happening over a few weeks.
What type of noises?
Like rattling, like all different sorts of noises.
Okay.
It sounds like
thumping.
Things were happening.
Okay.
She'd often go into a cupboard, just grab her clothes. Notice that over
What was she grabbing, a skirt or a t-shirt?
Every day it was a different type of clothing.
Oh, okay, cool.
Underwear, clothes, jumpers, you name it. It's a bit cold in America at the moment.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Anyway, she started noting that pieces, that pieces of clothes started going missing. She had shirts going missing, her pants.
Oh, happens to me all the time.
She started freaking out and the noises continued at night. So she thinks there's a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was a ghost because it kept stealing things. There was no other explanation of the haunting. Then
Maybe
all of a sudden,
she's just super forgetful.
She could have been. You're right.
It's
but
like
then
my boyfriend always assumes that someone's stealing from him when he loses like his sunnies and stuff. No, you've just lost them. You're just forgetful
and drunk. Then all
always
of a sudden,
wasted.
Strange handprints started being left behind her bathroom wall. You tell me that's not scary. Your clothes are missing. Strange handprints that almost look abnormal.
Abhuman.
I was going to say abhuman. Abnormal. That was down the thing like someone's haunting.
Oh, like
something
Rose from
out of
Titanic.
Literally like Rose from Titanic, but scarier, more ghost-like. She started hearing more noises at night. She thought there was a raccoon in a closet. After about a month of this happening, she yells out to the ghost. Who's there? Oh, it was a girl. Who's there? After a month of yelling that every night, if one night someone yells back, I'm Drew.
No, they don't.
I'm Drew.
No, it's not Drew.
She opens the door. No joke. There's a guy called Drew in her cupboard wearing all of her clothes, all of her socks, with handprint marks from the dirty shower all down his hands. And he had a book bag full of his clothes. Turns out it wasn't a ghost. There was a creep living in her cupboard the whole time.
Nah.
While she was sleeping every night, he would watch her.
I call Mayo on this story. This is just one of those like
promise.
One
this
of those spooky
true.
Stories that you tell at Halloween.
Nah, it's legit because she had to talk to the guy. She called her boyfriend. He said call the police. She had to keep the guy occupied until police got there. So she's it's not as scary anymore. She had to talk
Even
to
the spooky music knows that
so
it's
her
not.
Boyfriend, right? This is legit. Called the police. Yeah. As the police were on their way, she had to talk to this guy and keep him there the whole time until the police arrived.
Let me guess, she ended up kissing him.
She did. Good way to keep him distracted. But she ended up having generic conversation. Like, hey, so how's my cupboard been for the last month until the police came and arrested
you? What do you think about my underwear? What do you think about that new top I bought from Bardot recently?
He's been in her cupboard living in her clothes that whole time.
Crazy, Josiah.
As
you have shaken the Goulburn Valley to its core this morning. Nah, I'm fine.
So, the moral of the story is check your cupboards.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
So we're in the process now of putting up the best video. You know how, like, you get to work in the morning, you're tired, you think, I've got a whole work day ahead of me. This video brightened up my morning at 5 o'clock this morning.
What happened?
So, currently, there's a lot of Chinese New Year festivals going on around the country.
Year of the Pig.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
So it's your year.
Oh, I can say the same about you.
As if, mate, I'm Year of the Stallion.
Oh.
It was my year. Oh, God. Anyway, so there's Brisbane is having a Bris Asia Festival. Could have come up with a better name.
Could be better, maybe like Bris Cheese or something. Chinese Brizzy's. No.
Brizzy.
It's a bit of a stretch. Jeez. It's 6:10 in the morning.
Anyway.
Brainy's New Year. Hello.
Okay, well, let's not go down that road, please. Anyway, there's these Brisbane schoolgirls who have put on a bit of a dance to celebrate Chinese New Year and things. So you'd think a traditional Chinese New Year celebration would be getting, you know, the big lion dancing and doing something like that. No, they've instead chosen to do, I'm not going to lie, a pretty slutty dance.
Oh, wow. Right?
They're wearing short little skirts. They're in the middle of some mall over in Brisbane and they're performing purely for the Lord Mayor and I think it's his wife. So picture this, and we're going to put up on our socials, Hit GV on Instagram, Hit Golden Valley on Facebook page very soon for you to check it out. But they're doing this slutty dance for the Lord Mayor and the Lord Mayor alone. This is the audio from it. This is how soft it is. So imagine a bunch of girls just dancing.
Where's the music?
Yeah, look how soft it is. So they're doing this, they're whipping all these moves, and the Lord Mayor's just standing there like creepily grinning. Like, I don't know where to look. This is so awkward.
Is the Lord Mayor Chinese?
No.
So why are they?
Because he's just getting involved in the celebrations.
Well,
do you know what? Nor are the girls who are dancing.
So what? A bunch of white girls are dancing for the white mayor.
Yeah.
None of them are Chinese, yet they're dancing for Chinese New Year.
In the middle of the street.
I am offended.
Some choreographed, slotty dance routine. It is the most awkward. And it just pans from them and then back to him. And he's like kind of nodding along and then back to them and then back to. Oh, God.
What has
it's
that got
so
to do
awkward.
With Chinese New Year?
I don't know. Just I don't know.
Here I've got a pig.
Okay, stop. Putting the accent on. You're going to get us in trouble.
You're like a Chinese
Stop
restaurant.
Stop it. Anyway, a lot of people on social media have blown up about this because it's the best thing you'll see all week. And they're comparing it to, remember Summer Heights High?
Oh, best show of all time.
Remember Jemai? Well, she's doing a presentation to the school about why the year 12s deserve a formal. And they do a little dance themselves.
Before we go, I want to give you guys an example of what you will look like going off on the dance floor at the formal. Thank you, Ashley. Cause I don't
want to. And the slutty dancing commences. The teacher's standing there watching. It is exactly the same thing.
The difference is, in Jemai, you can actually hear the music.
Yeah.
So they're dancing to something, whereas these weird Brisbane schoolgirls.
Don't, as if. This is really loud music. This is great.
They're getting into it just as much.
Drop it like it's hot. Damn.
No music. The most awkward thing you'll see all day.
Make sure you get around our socials. It'll brighten up your Wednesday, that's for sure.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Golden Valley's Hit 96.9.
Surprise time for your hump day.
Yes, I've been waiting for this all morning.
Are you excited?
Yes, I need some presents. It's been too long since Christmas.
I mean, it was my birthday last week. Happy birthday, Josiah, for that. But today, it kind of feels like your birthday with what I'm about to do.
Well, I've given you so many presents this year. I gave you a present from South Africa. I gave you a birthday present. It is my turn.
Ellie, who is your favourite person in the world, celebrity-wise?
Ellen DeGeneres.
It's not quite Ellen.
Oh.
It's better than Ellen.
What, like a meet and greet with Ellen?
It's better. My surprise is better than Ellen. Who else have you got?
Ryan Reynolds?
Nah, you talk about this person. Here we are. I'll give you a clue. We've had this person on the show before.
Hamish and Andy.
Just before you guess. They are the biggest guest we've ever had on this show. You loved having them on the show and you freaked out and you were shaking before the interview because you're that obsessed with that person.
Not bloody Alf Stewart. Alf Raymond Stewart.
Raymar himself.
Oh, I love Alf so much. I loved it. I loved him mostly because he tore you down about your name heaps. He was like, Josiah, what type of name is that?
He thought it was two names, didn't he? Yeah. Josiah and Ellie, he thought we were three people.
Yeah.
Joe, Sire, and Ellie.
I love Alf. What's Alf done?
Well, when we had him on last time, he came on to talk about GoDaddy, where you can create your own websites for small businesses.
Is he coming on now? Because I'm not prepared.
Just relax,
Don't,
Ellie.
Like,
it's okay.
You remember how nervous I got last time? Don't.
He's teamed up with GoDaddy again.
Yeah.
Did you know? You know what? Do you know what Ray's teamed up with him for?
What?
59% of small businesses don't have websites, and with GoDaddy, you can create your own.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's what he's promoting.
Is this an ad for GoDaddy or are you going to give me a present?
Bit of both.
Okay, cool.
So, without further ado, I want to welcome.
No, don't. If he's here, I'm actually going to
He couldn't
out.
Come in, but he sent a present for you instead. He said to say sorry he couldn't come on.
Oh, jeez, I got so nervous. Yeah,
team out with GoDaddy. Ray has created the Ray Grants, and he sent one in just for you to try.
Oh, as in fragrance, but fragrance.
Exactly right. It's his own perfume.
Is it like a men's one?
I don't really know. I haven't gone into that
fragrance
detail.
Fragrance number one is a captivating blend of all things Ray Ma.
Keep reading.
It's an exotic blend of hard work, perseverance, triumph.
Yep.
Exclusively available online. Visit Via Ray's very own GoDaddy website, fragrance.com.au.
How good's that? I've got you some fragrance because you're his number one fan. Instead of just talking about how much of a fan you are, you can now wear Ray Ma on you.
I smell like Alf.
You can smell like Ralph.
Hold on.
What's his name?
Ralph.
Ralph. Ralph Stewart.
I'm having a spray. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's masculine or feminine.
Doesn't matter.
It's delicious regardless.
Spray it on you now. No, don't spray. Go on. Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm so excited. Yeah. No, this is very cool.
Yeah, no.
I'm excited. I want to smell like, who doesn't want to smell like Ray Ma?
13, 12, 16.
Oh, giving one away.
I've got two more to give away. If you want to smell like Ray Ma.
Oh, how good.
And try some Ray-grants, give us a call right now. We'll give them away.
Are you still calling it Ray-grants? I feel like it's Ray-grants.
Oh, Ray-grants. Ray-grants. It's a bit more Aussie Ray-grants. When you say Ray-grants, isn't it?
Like fragrance. Jess from Dookie's given us a call.
Ellie, can you describe to Jess the smell of Ray-grants just so she can definitely, you know, want some?
Well, I mean, Ray's described it as smelling like hard work, perseverance and triumph. And I got to say, that is an accurate description. Bit of a, maybe like a lemony fragrance in there and maybe like a floral one as well.
Jess, do you need a new...
Oh, I would absolutely love it.
Done. For you or your partner, I guess you're going to have to smell it before you decide who gets it.
Are you a big Ray Ma fan?
I've watched him Home and Away.
Yeah.
For years and years. So yeah.
And you know what? We'll
it's
send
amazing
you.
Amazing and it's great. Yeah.
Well, we're sending you your very own bottle of fragrance right now, Jess. And if you don't like it, feel free to use it for
I'm
the
sure
toilet.
I would
toilet.
Love it.
Toilet. Worst case scenario.
No, you don't want your toilet. Your dunny can't smell like Alf.
Imagine that, Jess. Yeah. You need it. Imagine killing that smell with some fragrance. That's the best.
It'll be amazing. Thank
you. Will be. Thanks, Jess.
Great. Thank you.
Get up with
Josiah and Ellie on Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
A big surprise happened on Married at First Sight last night. It was the moment that Australia had been waiting for. To be honest, I thought we were going to have to wait a few more weeks until we saw this moment happen. But ultimately, little Matthew, the 29-year-old virgin, had this to say at the very end of the episode.
Last night, I lost my virginity. It was just a beautiful moment. It was probably more than I expected it would be. It was amazing.
Oh, Maddie. Little Matt. Grown up in front of 25 million people.
I feel like you should turn my mic off.
Why?
Oh, this makes me so angry.
What do you mean?
I am so sick of people focusing on this poor guy and not being, like, let the guy be. Stop labelling him as something. If he wants to be a virgin, let him be a virgin. Who cares?
Well, I don't know what the storyline's going to be for him now, because I thought that this was going to be a bit of a story arc that played out over a few weeks. You know, they went on the honeymoon, but oh, he was too nervous. And then, like, he needed to ease into it. But nah, night two with his new wife. Boom.
Well,
he's done what he couldn't do in 29 years.
Well, what makes me angry about this is he probably felt the pressure of the whole country going, oh, you're a virgin. Oh, virgin Matthew, virgin this.
Yeah.
Let the poor guy live.
Oh,
just call him Matthew. Agreed. It's his name. Virgin's not his first name. Let him just be Matthew and stop putting the pressure for him to do something that he hasn't wanted to do in 29 years. He might not have even wanted to do it with this girl.
Yeah, well, the poor guy went to hospital the night before because he had a panic attack over it.
See, say no more. Channel 9, you've got a lot to do. Whoever the production company is, there's a lot to answer for that. I feel for the poor
but
guy.
But it's been good television.
It's great TV.
In fact, Married at First Sight in general this season has been, like, I don't even know which part to focus on. The crazy girl, Ines, who lost it last night at Bronson, her partner. Can you call them partners?
They've gone for crazies this year,
oh,
haven't they?
Oh, God. It's just like drama, scandal. And you like the dinner parties start next week.
Oh, that's when the trouble really starts.
The amount of wife swapping that's going to go on.
That Ines girl has actually got rocks in her head.
Yeah.
There's some serious issues. Like, I'm pretty sure with these reality shows, they have to pass psych tests.
Yeah.
I don't know how some of these got through the cracks.
I know. Well, last night she's been pretty standoffish to her new husband, mainly because he used to be a stripper. We spoke about him on the show yesterday, and she can't get over that fact. She thinks it's dirty. She thinks it's not good enough for her.
Even though she looks like one.
And so then, I know, she's mad at him about his eyebrow piercing, let alone, like, but she's got neck tats and stuff.
I know, matching tattoos on her shoulders. Yeah. Like, no judgment there for her.
Yeah.
But don't judge him for his eye ring when you're rocking around with that.
Exactly. Exactly. Each to their own. But last night they went parasailing together and she had a panic attack as well. It's a pretty common theme because she was scared. And started screaming at him and abusing him and swearing at him. And he's been such a nice guy this whole time. He was finally like, don't speak to me like that. Like, I've done nothing wrong. So good on him. But you got to imagine there's some partner swapping going to be coming up with those two because they're obviously not in it. And
there's strong rumours that that guy that thinks he's too good looking for love, whatever his name was, he ran off to his ex-girlfriend whose father died.
Mum
died in New Zealand, so he had to leave the show.
Yeah.
Apparently the rumour is that he comes back from New Zealand and just happens to swap partners. Very convenient, if you ask me.
Very convenient.
So watch this space.
Well, with Innes's little breakdown last night, I messaged my boyfriend and I was like, all men need to watch this. All men need to see what some girls can be like because then it makes the rest of us look good. Like, I look like the perfect girlfriend compared to that crazy girl.
Yeah, every girl has an element of crazy in them, though.
Not me.
I've seen you off air.
No.
There are strong elements of Innes in you.
You know, there's the hot crazy scale and then there's the unicorn because they're not crazy and they're super hot. That's where I lie.
Nah, you know, your new nickname is Innes. Innes the shoulder tap girl. Ellie Innes Cheney.
Do not tar me with her brush. Oh, God. I'm Married at First Sight. It is, of course, back, you know, plenty of times this week on Channel 9. We can't get enough of it.
Hello, good morning. How you doing? Waking up.
Get up with
Desire and Ellie.
The rest of my life gonna start today.
On Golden Valley's Hit 96.9.